Hello there. This is Eric Sinrod from Duane Morris with my partner Jonathan Armstrong, straddling the pond, me here in San Francisco, Jonathan in the UK, and we're bringing you your weekly installment of Tech Law 10, where all things information technology meet the law. And Jonathan, as I understand it, it's my privilege today to ask you about privilege issues. What do you have on your mind?
Very good. I thought it would be interesting to discuss this case that we just had on Wednesday from the Supreme Court in the UK. First of all, I should explain what the Supreme Court is, I guess, for many of our listeners. So the UK used to have its senior appellate court as the House of Lords. We changed that fairly recently, and now the Supreme Court sits, like the US, as the highest court in the land. And they sat recently to look at the issue of legal professional privilege. Now, I guess it probably would be obvious to most of the lawyers listening in, but legal professional privilege applies only in the UK to qualified lawyers, that is, solicitors and barristers. Some accountants had claimed, however, that some of the work they do, particularly in the area of tax advice, is more or less the same as lawyers, and they said whether or not they are professionally qualified as lawyers or not, since their advice was broadly the same, then it should be treated the same and they should have the rights of privilege too. And incredibly, this case was pushed all the way up to the Supreme Court before the accountancy profession, or those accountants involved, seem to have now acknowledged the fact that privilege does not apply to them. This case was a little strange. It concerns some tax advice which had been given to Prudential PLC. That's the UK entity, not the US entity, which is a different entity altogether. And the Prudential had argued that they didn't have to hand over the tax advice that they'd got because it was privileged. The Special Commissioner for Income Tax here, who's charged with collecting tax, didn't agree. In this case, as I said, by a majority of 5-2, the court decided that there was no doubt that justification for legal professional privilege still exists. It wasn't something, happily, that the courts were inclined to erode as far as lawyers are concerned, but I think the court rightly said that the relationship between a solicitor or a barrister in the UK and his or her client is something different from the relationship that a client might have with other professional advisors. In the leading judgment, one of the law lords, Lord Neuberger, said that privilege should not be extended to communications in connection with advice given by professional people other than lawyers, even where that advice is legal advice which that professional person is qualified to give. And I think it does have ramifications for the tech world as well. In a lot of the investigations we see that we're asked to conduct on behalf of clients, privilege is certainly a live issue, and you do see a whole host of advisors giving advice and marking their emails professionally privileged. They'll quite often cut and paste email disclaimers from law firms and somehow claim that they have privilege. That makes it a more difficult task rather than an easier task in internal investigations, because you can't just do a keyword search on the word privilege, because you know that some of those claims don't hold up. And so whilst the advisors might either not care about their use of language or be trying to help the client, actually in investigation it does them a disservice, because it means that you've got to eyeball each of those emails and decide whether privilege applies or not. I guess the lasting memory, again, as we say always in these cases, is just be very careful who you're sending documents to and who you're commissioning to give you specific pieces of advice. Just because people say that they can provide that advice to you, it doesn't mean that all professionals are created equal, certainly when it comes to privilege. Obviously, there are issues as well with in-house lawyers' privilege not being recognized by some of the institutions and courts in Europe. And equally, The professional qualifications of U.S. lawyers, perish the thought, not being recognized for privileged purposes in some parts of Europe. So it's an evolving story, but at least it seems that in the short to medium term, we've got some certainty in Europe on legal professional privilege, and we can now say definitively that it's likely to apply to solicitors and barristers only. I wonder if there's been issues around privilege in the U.S. as well, Eric.
Well, there certainly have been. I'm not aware of a recent ruling like that, but I, you know, my educated guess is that likely the same types of guidelines and rules would apply, that you're not going to obtain a legal attorney-client privilege in this country if you're not dealing with an actual attorney, generally speaking. You know, if you're talking to your, you know, your friendly neighbor who happens to be a financial advisor or an accountant, and he's perhaps off the cuff giving his opinion of what a legal ramification might be, you're probably not going to have the attorney-client privilege there because that's not an attorney. On the other hand, there can be situations where another professional is wrapped in within the work of an attorney. Say, for example, I'm working on a case as the lawyer, and I hire as a consultant, you know, an economist who's working on the case. That person can be part of the privileged relationship between me, the client, and himself, so long as I don't disclose that person as an expert. If the person is designated as a testifying expert, then, you know, everything's fair game because they're testifying and the other side is entitled to know, you know, the foundation for their opinion, and that includes the communications they've had as part of their engagement. And then, of course, it's worth pointing out that there are other privileges besides the attorney-client privilege. You have, for example, you know, the physician-patient privilege, where you can talk, generally speaking, confidentially to your doctor, or the spousal, the marital privilege, where, you know, certain communications between husband and wife are deemed private. But, you know, this is an important area, and it's good to have, you know, things mapped out so people know where they have confidentiality and where they do not, confidentiality and where they do not. So, Jonathan, I'm glad you brought this to our attention. It's our privilege, as I say, to listen to you on this. And as you know, this is your weekly Tech Law 10. We encourage you to provide us with further ideas on what we should be talking about going forward. You can reach me at ejsinrod@dwaynemorris.com. We're on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. I probably missed something, but Jonathan, why don't you close us out?
No, I think you covered it. I'm JP Armstrong at dwaynemorris.com. We'll post a link to the precise description of the case in our LinkedIn area, and all that remains is to thank you for listening, and we'll speak to you again soon. Goodbye now.
Thank you.